ॐ सहना भवतु
ॐ सहना भवतु
सहनौ भुनक्तु
सह वीर्यं करवावहै सह वीर्यं करवावहै
तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु
मा विद्विषावहै मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ ब्रह्मानन्दम् परमसुखदम् केवलम् ज्ञानमूर्तिम् द्वन्द्वातीतम् गगनसदृशम् तत्त्वमस्यादिलक्ष्यम् एकम् नित्यम् विमलमचलम् सर्वधि साक्षिभूतम् भावातीतम् त्रिगुणरहितम् सत्कुरुं तं नमामि सत्कुरुं तं नमामि ॐ ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् शङ्कराचार्य मध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्य पर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् ॐ सो भगवान् कृष्ण गेव् अस् दट् वर्स् That is a lokesmin duvidha nishtha. There's two types of committed nishtha. Nishtha means a committed lifestyle. For what? For moksha. How do you gain moksha? Through any means of action? Through any process? No. Only through jnanam. Through direct, immediate knowledge produced by listening to the traditional teacher. And that knowledge takes place, it removes its opposite, self-ignorance. Self-ignorance is the root cause of all human suffering. So once the cause is removed, all the effects are removed. Samsara is removed. So the life of becoming is removed. The sense of oneself as an individual is removed. And all suffering, all forms of suffering, guilt and hurt, unhappiness, is impossible. This is called moksha. So moksha is through jnanam. And so that itself, not even a path, so, it's just jnanam. It's knowledge. So, the committed lifestyles, both committed lifestyles are for that moksha. And both committed lifestyles involve listening to Vedanta every single day as the immediate cause for moksha. And also, any other disciplines that help the person grow emotionally for that knowledge to take place. Because knowledge has to take place where? It doesn't take place in the toe. It doesn't take place in the teeth or the nose. It takes place in the heart of the heart, the intellect and the mind, the person. And the person, for this knowledge to take place, the person has to be very mature. That means relatively free from resistance to facts one cannot change. Resistance causes what? Reaction. Reaction is a happening you have no say over. That means you're swimming against a riptide, because that's resistance to facts you cannot change. So you're swimming against a riptide in the ocean of emotion, and then you go under. Because who's the more powerful? You or the ocean? Ocean is infinite power. And you have gone against her. Naturally, you go under. And so when you go under, that's a reaction. And a reaction is unconscious. And when you're unconscious and you say and do things, those actions, those words are going to have consequences. They're going to have results. And if those actions and words are not in keeping with universal values, those actions, words will produce, the immediate result will be conflict, guilt, hurt, and also the later result will be a subtle result in your account that will manifest as a painful situation later. So, less resistance, more freedom from reaction. Freedom from reaction translated as peace, grace in the heart. More peace in the heart, more ability to understand. So then as you listen to the traditional teaching, knowledge can take place. And that knowledge, the fruit of that knowledge, is not obstructed also. The qualifications of the student then have to be emphasized, because we don't come to this teaching with all the qualifications in full measure. Nobody does. And these qualifications are not ideals sitting somewhere. These qualifications are already you. You all have them. Anytime your mind, anytime your heart is at peace, all of these qualifications are with you. But it's a matter of enhancing them and letting them grow to a certain degree where there's a more or less a consistent contentment. And one of the big things that helps us is the objectivity towards balloons. If you want to translate this maturity into one word, is objectivity towards balloons. The whole jagat, known and unknown, is seen, gone. It's a balloon. So our objectivity has to grow. What is the attitude? I'm not running after for moksha. I'm not running after things to be free. I'm not running away from things to be free. I'm objective towards them. Balloons pop. I know they're going to pop. And so when they pop, I'm not surprised. Because actually they're popping all the time. Every thought is destroyed. What if Kali did not destroy every thought? We'd be sitting stuck here for timelessly. Because without time, no destruction. She is destruction. She is crunching the whole jagat in her jaws. Every picosecond, every trillionth of a second. So, Kala, time. Are you going to change time? A fact. You cannot change. Why try? Why put your will against that? Isn't it silly to put the will against? But we put our will against because we really have not grasped the gravity of gravity, the gravity of immutable law. If you really understand clearly, then you'll enjoy that 32 feet per second per second. You'll enjoy the crunch of time. We're not afraid of a thought dying, but my body. My body. It's an object of awareness. Otherwise, you can't say my. And then you say, I am going to die. This is identification with the body-mind. That identification is due to ignorance. And so only through proper inquiry, atma-vichara, inquiry into the nature of the self, which is not done by yourself, is done with the help of the teacher in teaching. Guru Upasadhanam is there. We go to the teacher with humility and we let the teacher teaching see for us, know for us. This is called Atma Vichara. And that's every day for both types of people, both Jnana Nishtha, Jnana Yogaha would be Atma Vichara. Yoga is upayaha. Here in this context, upaya means a means through predominantly listening to the shastra, listening to the scripture. Because the person has less reaction and has already neutralized a lot of their reaction through prayer, through playing many roles, having children. Maybe they've been married and divorced three times. Finally they got it. The eternal sunshine of the spotless mind. Finally they broke all the chains. Have you seen that movie? So you can watch it Vedantically now. The white light and the white screen is watching all these plays, and then you'll disengage and you won't repeat the same thing anymore. You'll just stay with the eternal imaginary tea party, which is unconditional love, objectivity, less subjectivity, less anima and animus, these projections of mother, father onto significant others. But that's why we need puja. So we Ishwarize those very, very deeply. You Ishwarize, you spiritualize, you bring your devotee to the altar. You bring the devotee up by coming to the altar. So, now to understand, these are the two committed lifestyles. Karma yogena, yoginam, and jnana yogena, sankhyanam. So, jnana yogena, sankhyanam. For the people who are more mature, in not that they're better, because there can be another person that's just mature playing many roles, okay? Please understand this. Because we have a romantic idea that, oh, if I go sit under a tree, I'm going to get some enlightenment. No. If you go sit under a tree and you have lots of resistance to facts you cannot change, and you don't have a teacher under the tree teaching you, because the tree is not going to teach you, and asking who am I is not going to give you any, what is, who am I, who am I, who am I, who am I, who am I? All you'll come up with in 20 years is idiot, idiot, idiot. You're not going to get anything out of that. So this is not a means of knowledge. Asking who am I is not a means of knowledge. So you have to have a teacher there, and then can you sit for 5 hours of classes of Vedanta every day? It's not likely unless not only you have good knees that don't scream at you, but you have a tremendous resolution and you don't have other things going on. You don't have other things going on inside and reactions, restlessness. So we still have a lot of, of rajas, a lot of things, roles we have to play, things we have to do, arise to those occasions, do what they have to be done. So Most of us, karma yoga, which is what? Can you do karma yoga? Some people say that. Can you do karma yoga? No. Because karma yoga is an attitude. Yoga means an attitude of glad acceptance to results of actions. Non-resistance to results of actions. Graceful acceptance. That's an attitude. You cannot do an attitude. It's not an action. You can't do an attitude. It's an attitude born of knowledge. And so the clearer the knowledge of action and result and where it's coming from, the infinite intelligent being that has manifested this wonder called the cosmos, who is the presiding conscious being over cause and effect, who I told you is the Santa Claus of Santa Claus with a billion elves ready to give you every possible present in every moment, in every present moment. What are you getting? Look at these presents. From the DNA onwards, you see, from the quarks onwards. What? Presents, 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 presents. Every thought is a present. Unexpected guest, thought, presence. Open it. Pay attention. Stimulus, response. In between the stimulus and response, sacred space. Have a prayer. Om Ganganapataye Namaha. Take a deep breath. Count to 10. They say that also. Fine. Or say, I'm angry now. I can't talk to you. I'll talk to you later when I'm cool. Because talking while you're angry is only going to give you what? Pardon? Yeah, it's violence. It's going to be more pain, more suffering. Because that's during a reaction. Say, I'm in a reaction now. Excuse me. I can't talk to you. I'm overwhelmed now. I'm emotionally overwhelmed. So, given information of your feeling. This is a very important step. Inform others without blaming yourself, without blaming anyone else. If you want to blame somebody, who to blame? Neelakandhaya Namaha, the blue-necked Shiva, the blue-necked Ganapati. And what does he say when you blame him? He says, yes. If I were you, I'd feel the same. And this is what we can learn to see with others also. If you were them, and you had their past, you had their mother, father, you had all their story, you would say the same thing, and you would do the same thing. So you have empathy. You have compassion. You can respond out of empathy. But if it's abusive, you can say, that's abusive. I don't accept it. It's inappropriate. I think you're angry now. We'll talk later. That's fine. Keep your borders. You're not going to accept abuse in any way. You're not worthy of abuse. No person is worthy of abuse. You stay away from abusive people. Have a prayer for them. They have a past for that behavior. And they're in pain. They're in denial of the pain. And they're acting out of that. So we need understanding. Once you understand, you can have compassion. But if you're hurt, you say, I'm hurt. That hurts me. And cut it off and get away from it. Get to the pain that has come up because they have given you a gift. They have pushed a button. And now I can see where I have some immaturity. Go into the cause of that immaturity. Serenity prayer. Say the serenity prayer. Go to the pain, get to the rain. Grow some flowers. Pay attention. Let the sun shine on that. Rain a bit. And grow some flowers from your heart. Creativity will come. Out of destruction comes construction. It's an inner alchemy. When you embrace the shadows, when you embrace Mr. Hyde, You bring Mr. Hyde out of hiding in healthy ways. Otherwise, what does Mr. Hyde do? He will kill himself and take Dr. Jekyll with him. Destruction. It'll be destructive behavior. It'll be adharmic behavior. And it will end up in killing. Either a suicide or a homicide. That's the extreme, Mr. Hyde. But you can embrace Mr. Hyde with unconditional love and say, all of the enemy is me. I'm eating you. Cannibal, Hannibal the cannibal. How delectable is my enemy. That's what actually some cultures have done. Because I respect my enemy so much that he could have killed me any moment, and now I've killed, I'm going to take all his qualities and make them into construction. And I have all his powers. I all have all his magical powers because I've eaten him. We don't need to eat physically. We're eating metaphorically. We're embracing the shadows by offering non-resistance. Now that means that these reaction places in our hearts get neutralized. When they get neutralized, then I may have a preference, but it's not binding anymore. It's not a binding like. It means a like that if I don't get my coffee in the morning, I get angry. I can't get up out of the bed. That's a binding like. Or a binding dislike. If a dislike makes you react, it's binding. Why is it binding? Because if you're in a reaction, you're unconscious, and then you say and do things unconsciously that cause you more pain and suffering and keeps you within vicious circles. Unconscious, vicious circles. And as a spiritual student, you're breaking those chains. Now, you'll break those chains faster and faster. You'll have them less and less as you pay attention in playing the roles, keeping your devotee up. So what does Swamiji mean when he says keeping your devotee up? Keeping the devotee in your heart by words, by thoughts, by actions that get you into your relationship with Ishvara, your relationship with the cause of this creation. Now, for now, it's higher power. It's beyond us. We didn't create this wonder. We didn't create this body-mind complex or the cosmos, manifest or unmanifest. We didn't create it. We find ourselves in this wonder. Everything's given. Notice the given and the context. Read the context and see what role Santa Claus is asking you to play. What role? The context will tell you to read it like a play. And then rise to that occasion. What is your script? It's quite clear. Daughter now, with mother, daughter is the script. With daughter, mother is the script. Now, if your devotee is up, then you have devotee mother, devotee daughter, and you're not in offense or defense posture. See, offense, defense posture is like somebody comes in the room and my sword is ready, like a ninja warrior. My sword. I've got my hand on my sword and I'm ready to strike. What is this guy? Who is this Swamiji coming? When I'm first coming, you're wondering, what is this Swamiji? We don't know who he is. I'm going to see who this Swamiji is ready. Is he going to give me some advice? Is he going to try to control me? No, no way he's going to control me. I'm uncontrollable. You're ready to deal with the Swamiji. You're ready to deal with any person. Your sword is ready. This is called ninja warrior. Ninja is in offense-defense posture. The best defense, offense. Israel. What is Israel? Constant offense. The best defense, offense. We'll strike before they strike us. And we're going to prepare everybody constantly. So they're always ready. What a life. So, this ninja warrior is a... This is offense, defense posture is a closed pot. It's a closed vessel. So you dip that closed vessel that's got a burning desert in his heart and dip that fellow in the Ganga, dip the fellow in the Ganga, dip the fellow in the Ganga, but it's all watertight. Nothing goes in. It's this offense, defense, watertight lid. Well, what are we going to do? Put some holes in that. How do we put holes in the lid to let the Ganga in? Because the grace is flowing everywhere. Inside, outside, in between, there's nothing but grace. But somehow this lid has come. Okay, namah, 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 namah. Each time you say namaha, each time you do namaste to your altar, to the trustworthy who says, I love you as you are love, come to my feet, you have refuge. You take refuge into your baby in mother's arms. Helplessness and trust, you get immediate help from someone who doesn't need help. Rains come into the desert, and the desert blooms. All the wildflowers, through every cell of your body, they're just... The whole rainforest starts coming out of every cell, every pore of your body pouring out. Why? Because rains come in. See? Open pot. Helplessness, acknowledge. Trust in the trustworthy. Puja, flower to your heart. Your devotee's up. So devotee, mother, is objective. I can do, I need not do, I do differently. If you forget the devotee, you are the mother, then you are the problem, you cannot see it anymore, and you're unconscious, and you're in this reactive behavior that's happening, this unconscious behavior that's going to cause you more pain and suffering. So, devotee. Bring the devotee. Be creative in bringing the devotee. There's classical forms, and then you have a free rein. Anything, that any words, any actions that bring that devotee in your heart. If Om Ganganapadhyaye Namaha, that helps, do it. Namaha, do it. Keep bringing, make up some new ones also. Be creative. There's nothing stopping you. So then the permanent devotee will be there. So you have less and less reaction, less and less binding likes and dislikes. You may still have preferences. You can afford to have any amount of preferences, okay? You don't have to get rid of your desires. Desire is not a problem. Desire is a privilege. Desiring power is given to you. It's a privilege. But if the desire binds me, I can neutralize that binding factor. I can neutralize that reaction by non-resistance. To facts I cannot change. By bringing my devotee up, you see. So, I can have many preferences. Preference means what? If I get it, I'm okay. If I don't get it, I'm okay. There's no reaction. I can always ask for something. You have this? I'm ready for the opposite. I'm ready for not being there. Okay, fine. I'll have something else or won't have anything. That's fine. No reaction. That's a preference. It's not binding. It's not going to make you say and do things unconsciously and cause you more pain and suffering and go into another whirlpool and a whirlpool and a whirlpool. You're conscious of that. So you're using your privilege of desiring. It's a given privilege. You don't have to erase. No, you have to erase all your desires completely. Then you're free. No. That's another New Age misnomer, a New Age concept. Not correct. You're free to have any amount of desires. But if the desire is going to bind you, well, you can neutralize that through this attitude of glad acceptance. And that glad acceptance attitude, because the devotee is up, you can receive what's coming to you. It's coming from the hands of the infinite Santa Claus, the presence, our infinite presence every moment. You open the presence with reverence. Ah, wonderful. Ah, wonderful. I can do something. I need not do something. I can do it differently. So this is called the attitude of glad acceptance, born of clear understanding of karma, of action, and its result. So you can't do this attitude. You can have this attitude that pervades in and through all your actions, all the roles that you play. This attitude is like the string. It's the devotee attitude, the attitude of the devotee. It's not in offense, defense, ninja posture. It's not a ninja anymore. It's open, trusting, and objective with the devotee up. That's the string through all the flowers, all the roles that you play during the day. You only have one prayerful day, and you don't know if you're going to wake up tomorrow, whether it be the same room or another womb. You don't know. You have no idea. Because through between the lub and the dub, lub, dub, lub, dub, lub, dub. You know lub, dub? Lub, dub means the heart. It makes the sound. Somebody decided on that. Okay. You may have another one in Swedish, but this is lub, dub, lub, dub, lub, dub. Between lub and dub, Lord Death is sitting there. Lord Death is sitting there. He says, okay, lub, okay, dub, okay, lub, okay, dub. No lub. Heart attack. What is the heart ultimately for? To have an attack. What? To have an attack. This is objectivity. It's going to have an attack at some time. When? You don't know. You can't control that. You can't control Lord Death. He's in control of everything, and he has no control issues also. So he's a trustworthy fellow. He's the one that teaches Vedanta, actually, is Lord Death. Because he's deathlessness. And he teaches you that you're deathlessness. He alone can teach us. He's the teacher in the Kathopanishad, one Upanishad. Teaches Nachiketas, who's 9 years old and he doesn't care for balloons at all. And even though Yamaraja says, no, don't ask me about Atma. Don't ask me about the nature of the self, the nature of the world, the nature of God. Don't ask me about that. Have this balloon. Have this balloon. Have this balloon. Have a new car. Have a mansion. Have a swimming pool. Have some dancing boys and dancing girls. Have music. Exquisitely beautiful music. Please. But don't ask me this question about the nature of I. But this doesn't disturb Nachiketas. He says, Tavaiva vaha. He says, okay, Ramaraj, okay, King of Death, you have all of these things. You have all these vehicles. You have all these dancing girls. You have all these wonderful celestial people who don't even put their feet on the ground. I'm not interested in them. I'm not interested in balloons. I want nirdosha sadhyam. I want defectless goal and I want nothing else. And I know you have it. I know you have it. I know it's you. I want what you have. I want what you are, not what you have. So he has absolute emperorship. He has audience with the emperor of emperors. He asks for emperorship. What is he worthy of giving me? He can give me that. I don't want it. I don't want this jelly bean sitting under it. No, no, I want jelly bean. Okay, jelly bean. Bye. Bye. Okay. Most of us, we want jelly beans. Okay, have the jelly beans. But in and through all the jelly beans, you're getting those jelly beans, fine. You can change your attitude through knowledge. Whatever comes. Come. Devotee's up and it neutralizes these binding factors, neutralizes the reaction because it neutralizes the resistance. I'm now receiving facts. I have no control, I have no choice over what comes. So this is a life of the devotee, bringing the devotee up in and through this one prayerful day. And this is called Karma Yoga. Can't do it. It's an attitude. Attitude is going to abide deeper and deeper with more and more understanding. The more clear the understanding, the more abiding the attitude. The less the unclear clarity of understanding, the less abiding the attitude. Therefore, again, we need to listen again and again and again to Vedanta. It gives more clarity of knowledge, more abiding attitude, less disturbance, more peace in the heart, listen to Vedanta, more clarity of knowledge, more relaxation, and in accepting myself as I am, in and through all experiences, I'm happy, more and more happy, with less ups and downs. Roller coaster, mind. Consistent contentment that has no reason, as I'm not interested in becoming happy. I'm not interested in balloons. So, that's called Karma Yoga. So if somebody says, oh, we're going to do Karma Yoga, you don't have to correct them. It's not your job to police and correct people unless they come to you and ask. But you understand that you cannot do that. You have an attitude, and your attitude is born of knowledge. You cannot mandate, or you cannot prescribe. You cannot tell someone you should not be, oh, you're unhappy now. You shouldn't be unhappy. Why should you be? You shouldn't be unhappy. What is this? If you had a choice, do you think you'd ever be unhappy? No. You don't have a choice. If somebody's unhappy, you say, yes, it's okay. You can feel your pain, feel your feelings. It's okay to feel your feelings. Put your hand on their heart or their back and give a hug and say, yeah, it's okay. Feel your feelings. Swim with the ocean of emotion with namaha. Keep your head above the water and breathe deep into your heart. And you'll be fine. It's a processing the pain. It's beautiful as it is. It's very nice. Feel your feelings. Be honest with your heart. Be honest with your feelings. That's perfect. You cannot say, no, 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 you shouldn't be unhappy. Why should you be unhappy? You shouldn't. But we have these types of words, don't we? This is all forms of denial of facts you cannot change. So we're going to discover all those words and drop them and bring words of validation, validation, validation. That's also an ongoing project, alert, prayerful project for the rest of this year. For the rest of your life. So, actually, which is what? One prayerful day. Lord Death, love, dub, love, dub, love, dub. So you can live as if the body is going to die today. Just, you can even imagine, oh, I just found out I had the worst cancer. It's going to kill me in 5 days. What do you want to do? It's so much more healthy. What is Marcus' beautiful song? That the day I'm going to die, right now, is it? The day I'm going to...
1 hour.
1 hour. Is it even better than 1 day? 1 hour. What do you want to say? What do you want to do? What do you want to say to your significant others? I love you as you are loved. All the accounts, you give them to Nilakanta. He swallows all of them. Yes. Blueness. See, so Nilakanta bhavam, Nilakantam bhavati. So you meditate on the blue neck, you get a blue neck. What is a blue neck? Infinite space, unconditional love between the head and the heart. No resistance. Freedom from resistance to facts you cannot change. And that is contentment in your heart. So you settle account with Ishvara. You settle account with the infallible Mother Father. Put a period. You can't settle account with a person. You can't settle account with a person. You've got to get the gravity of this. So touch mom's feet. Yes, mom. I love you as you are. You are love. So Krishna says in another verse, he says, karmani eva adhikaraha te ma paleshu kadachana. This is for Swamiji, okay? You just listen and see how it sounds. It's fine. It sounds nice. So, karmani eva adhikarahate ma phaleshu kadachana ma karma palahetur bhuhu ma te sangostva karmani karman eva adhikaraste ma phaleshu kadachana ma karma palahetur bhuhu ma te sangostva karmani. So everything is in verse form. In prose, it's in poetry. Prose is, here's poetry. So it's in poetry and it's in a verse like this and it's all in meter, so you can chant it. 700 verses, you can get by heart. Why? Because you can chant that and connect it. One to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next. It's all linked, chain links. So you can easily remember it. Of course, you have to master the phonetics. Phonetics first, which you can do if you want to learn Sanskrit. I'll provide you the sources for learning Sanskrit. You're all bright, you can learn Sanskrit language. Then you can chant. So Krishna says, he gives an information. This is a facts, okay? These are facts, information to, when you understand these facts, your attitudes will change. Radically, those attitudes will change. The attitude will be a more practical, alert, prayerful attitude that blesses you deeply in your day-to-day living, bringing the devotee up, getting yourself out of offense, defense, ninja. So making the holes in the top. Namaha. Every time you say Namaha, you're putting a hole. Pretty soon it breaks and it's a full waterfall. Inside, outside, in between, a waterfall of grace coming. You can't figure out what's inside, what's outside, what's in between. I cannot figure out where is that. What is this concept? I cannot figure it out. There's nothing there anymore except pure unconditional love. So, to come to that, we need lots of namaha, lots of clarity of knowledge. So, bring up your devotees. So Krishna says, here's a fact, that he says, karmani eva adhikaraha te. Adhikaraha, You have choice. Adhikaraha. Adhikaraha means choice. You have adhikaraha. You have choice. Where? Karmani eva. Te. For you. Te. For you. Adhikaraha. There's choice. Karmani eva. With reference to action. With reference to an action, you have a choice. So with reference to action alone, you have a choice. Karmani eva adhikarahate. So, O Arjuna, you can act. You need not act. You can act differently. It's your choice. As long as you're conscious. So we're looking at conscious action, right? So that means buddhi purvaka karya. That means an action preceded by the intellect. Choice. The intellect is the Rolls Royce. Intellect is the driver of this vehicle. So we emphasize that we make a choice first. And it's a prayerful choice. Choice is what? Based on what? Choice is based on universal values. I don't want to be hurt. Nobody wants to be hurt. I choose the least hurting. When it comes to word and action, when it comes to thoughts and emotions, validate, 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 validate. It has nothing to do with dharma and adharma. Okay? It has nothing to do with right and wrong. At the mental level, there's no such thing as a bad thought. You see, in the nunnery, what are they doing in the nunnery? I shouldn't have this thought. I should have this thought. Everything you're not supposed to think about. You're not supposed to think. What do you? If you're not supposed to think about, you'll think about it more. All that. You can imagine that life is just a hell, a living hell. You will only think about it more. If you say, oh, you shouldn't think about that. That's a bad thing to think about. This is a good thing to think about. It's all ridiculous. This is not understanding the ways of the mind. The mind is like the wind. You have no control over that. You can invoke to think about Om Gang Ganapataye Namaha, and you invoke that. If the mind goes away, which it will go away, because that's what it does, it's like a monkey. It goes off, it goes after the mouse. Oh, there's the mouse. Bring it back. Okay, good. Bring it back. Om Gang Ganapataye Namaha. Oh, that mouse I saw yesterday when we were in class, that Ganapati's mouse, Om Gang Ganapati. Bring it back. Very gently. Like a newborn baby, like a flower. Treat your heart like a flower, newborn baby. Very delicate, okay? Very. And it's not bad or good. There's no bad or good any thoughts. When it comes to words and actions, then it's either appropriate or inappropriate. And it can produce, it will produce, either an immediate result of conflict and later result of painful situation. Then it becomes a dharmic action or adharmic action. I take responsibility and I precede my words and actions with this driver. The driver decides. The intellect driver decides. And the driver is a devotee driver. That's why Arjuna put Krishna as his driver. Because if Krishna is driving the chariot, everything is going to be fine. Krishna knows how to milk a cow, exactly how to touch the cow, mother cow, and get the milk maximum. He also knows how to keep the rein. Not too tight, otherwise those horses get angry and poof, break the chariot apart. The five horses, five senses. backed by the mind. The reins are the mind. The horses are the five senses. The roads, either appropriate or inappropriate, dharma or adharma. If you pull too much, the horses get angry. They'll rip the chariot apart. If you let too loose, then the horses run amok and they go into the ditch and they take you into the ditch. So Krishna knows exactly how to hold us. He has so much reverence also for the horses. He knows how to handle that. See? So it's a very delicate driving, alert, prayerful driving into the roads of dharma. So, O Arjuna, you have choice alone. You alone have choice only with reference to your action, as long as you're conscious. Because to the degree that you're in resistance, to that degree, you're doing and saying things unconsciously. And to that degree, you're creating more hell for yourself, more problems for yourself. To the degree that you're conscious, to that degree, you're creating more and more grace for yourself. Because you're consciously choosing what's appropriate. I don't want to be hurt, no one wants to be hurt, and I say and do things that are non-hurting. So even saying, this, just saying, I'm angry now, I can't talk to you, informing and not blaming, that is not hurting. That's appropriate. You're not blaming yourself or others, you're just informing. That's an alert practice. Because you can, in the morning, you can look in the mirror and you say, I will get angry today because I have anger. And it's okay to be angry. And I look in the mirror, I say, I'm going to get angry today. But when I get angry today, I'm going to say, I'm angry now. I can't talk to you. I'll talk to you later. Okay? The fellow in the mirror agrees, yes. Okay. Because every face you see is your face. Okay, so you face yourself. As all faces are your face. Okay. So, when you do, so this is like an auto-suggestion. Okay. Mirror is a nice practice. Okay. So, for bringing an auto-suggestion, any type of auto-suggestion you can use there. Then that impression is there, then with the grace of Ishvara, you take a deep breath when you're feeling overwhelmed after that stimulus before you respond. Take a deep breath. Om Ganganapataye Namaha. Ganapati gives you the grace of remembering what you said in the mirror to yourself. Now it's, I'm angry now. Before you would have said something inappropriate. Before you would have slapped the person or kicked even. Then you get kicked back and you have a big fight and it, problem. But now, you've caught yourself. It's a great thing. You've broken the chain. It's a great. So pat yourself on the back also. Give yourself some kudos. Give yourself some special compliments. And thank Ishvara's grace, Ganapati's grace, protection from hurting yourself, causing yourself more suffering. Anger doesn't get things done. It causes more pain and suffering. You may have learned that because father had anger, he used to get things done. But was he getting those things done? People out of fear did those things. They didn't do them out of respect. They didn't do them except out of fear. So you don't want to get into that. You want to break the chains of that. So, I'm angry now, I can't talk to you, okay? So, if Swamiji gets angry, if I ever get angry, I'll tell you. I'm angry now, I can't talk to you. I'll talk to you later. It's okay. You're not the cause, I'm not the cause. There's some dinosaur. It's the dinosaur's fault. The blue-necked dinosaur. Tell him off. He put a blue-necked dinosaur on your altar also, okay? And you can also think, what would the dinosaurs think of me? You know, oh, am I worried? No, I'm not worried. The dinosaurs of the world, the whole jagat, okay. So our face has to be very clear for so then we won't worry about what the dinosaurs think. But you can give it back to Nilakantha. You can always give it back to him and it won't be spit back at you. You'll just get validated and you say, yes, 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 if I were you, I'd feel the same. You are me. I am you. Let's have a cup of imaginary tea together. Back to the two-year-old tea party. Everything's all right. Ha! How could I? You see, but blessed, oh, the Lord's blessing. I'm back to my devotee. Then you can go back to the person when you're cool. Remember to do that. Remember to go back and say, okay, this is my perception. What is your perception? Again, these words are crucial, okay? So you can, it's all jewels coming to you. This is my perception. This is my peekaboo perception in this moment. It's just a peekaboo perception. It's valid. What's your perception? You know, what do you say in Swedish? Peekaboo. Huh? Titoot. 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 You play titoot. Why? With a one-year-old, you like to play titoot. Titoot. So, you get, see that bhava? That's titoot bhava. It's called peekaboo bhava. Now, we can get back to that peekaboo perception. This is my perception, just a peekaboo perception. It's okay to have that. It's all right. It's just in this moment. And it has absolutely nothing to do with my nature. Essentially, I've watched it, I'm witness of that perception, it's seen, it's gone, and I refuse to make a judgment about the fellow who's watching. Waking dream, deep sleep, waking dream, deep sleep, waking dream, deep sleep, peekaboo, 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 peekaboo. All these perceptions are seen, gone, and the sun remains. As witness to all the seen goners. And I simply refuse, as the sun, I simply refuse to make a judgment on myself with reference to a seen goner. He's already gone, the judgment's wrong, drop it. He's already wrong, the judgment's wrong, drop it. It's an error, drop it, it's an error, drop it, it's an error, drop it. I am a fresh spring water springing every moment, clearer than the clearest, purer than the purest. Every person is a fresh spring water springing every moment, purer than the purest. Fresh. Drop the judgments. They have nothing to do with what you are essentially. And listen to Vedanta to see what you are essentially. And let these seen goners go. So it's a peekaboo perception in this moment. It's valid according to your psychological past. Impressions are there. So validate, this is my perception. What is your perception? Repeat what the other person says. Is this what you said? Yes, okay. That's your perception. Validate that. Say, okay, that's fine. If I were you, I'd feel the same. If I were you, I'd have the same perception also. Which is reality. This is psychological reality. So validate that fact. But it's always a sacred gray area because it's... So you can remain in that sacred shades of gray prayerfully and tell your perception and communicate that. You don't have to... You can break the chains of slamming doors and breaking up and making up and breaking up and making up and breaking up. Breaking up to make up and make up to break up again. You can break those chains. So, I have choice with reference to an action alone to the degree that I'm conscious. So I have a tremendous value for conscious prayerful behavior. I have a negative value towards mechanical unconscious behavior. And so I take responsibility for my words and my actions. I take responsibility for my feelings, my emotions. I am responsible. Nobody else is responsible for my words or actions. Nobody else is responsible for my feelings. I take responsibility for that. That's also very healthy, very important. What did I tell you? I'm joking myself. Why am I joking? Because I'm not here. If I'm here, this fellow is not fighting with this fellow. You know, it's X. Why did you do that? Why did you do that? The right half of the body is not fighting the left half of the body. They come together in unconditional love into the heart lotus. And you say, Namaha, Namaha, Namaha. And so the right and left half of the body resolve and into oneness beyond opposites. Nobody's fighting anyone. We're not arguing about anything. We're just telling perceptions. And the perceptions are highly colored. They're colorful perceptions. They're colored by our inner psychological world that has all these impressions from mother and father and who we fell in love with first. So all those projections come up. Validate them, Namaha. And then once you get to your devotee back, your objective, then you'll see things and there's no problem in Ishvara, this creation as it is. There's no problem at all. Very simple. 2-year-old imaginary tea party. Toot-toot. How do you say? Tutut. So you have tutut bhava in your heart and you will be very cheerful, but with wisdom. Okay, it's a peekaboo child with wisdom. So, Arjuna, you have choice over action alone and ma paleshu adhikaraha ma paleshu kadachana. With reference to the result of the action, palam, remember palam? Paleshu. With reference to palam, with reference to that which disintegrates, that which rots. It's palam. So with reference to the result of an action, ma adhikaraha te astu. You do not have any choice at all. This again. Assimilate this. This is a fact. What do we imagine? We imagine we have some control of a result. We imagine we have some choice of the result. It's not true. You have absolutely no choice over any result of action. There's a lot of assimilation to assimilate this fact. And as you assimilate this fact, you're going to have a different attitude towards results. Because when the results come, they're coming according to laws of cause-effect that are absolutely impersonal. But these cause-effect laws are imbued with infinite intelligence. Infinite knowledge. I didn't create them. They are created by the infinite creator. Ishvara. So we have to understand Ishvara more. We don't have time to unfold today. But I've given you some inklings. Okay, the one who is the cause of this known and unknown jagat, this known and unknown cosmos, the one who presides over all cause and effect, who is in and through all cause and effects, who is every cause, who is every effect, and who gives the results of all actions. So So what's coming to you or your body-mind complex now is the stimulus through the five sense organs, mind, is all kinds of results are flowing in. Rivers of results are flowing in. Who's the one presiding over all those results? Infinite intelligent being, Santa Claus, who lives just north of the North Pole, remember? His place. And if you go there, you'll never come back. That's also a fact. Because to go there, you have to be Santa Claus, which you happen to be already. But right now, we imagine ourselves not to be Santa Claus. That's all. To bridge that through knowledge. Because Santa Claus is also telling you, you are me, I am you, but you're imagining you're not right now. Okay, I'm giving you presents. Receive these presents, because these presents are infinite presents. So when these results come, they're coming from the Santa Claus of Santa Clauses, and you have no choice, you have no adhikaraha over that result. So, simple. When you put your hands together, I can put my hands together. I need not put my hands together. I can put my hands together at a certain speed. Once I've put my hands together at a certain speed, there's a result. The sound. Hands don't make sound. Hands don't stop. Hands don't make sound. Oh, why are you making sound? Come on. Why? Do I have any choice over the result? Once I've put the hands at a certain speed and they're going to make sound, that's an effect. I have no choice over that effect. The effect is given according to the laws of creation, cause-effect. So, when you put forth proper effort, you always desire a result. Nobody does any action without desiring a result. Some people, this is also just a very peculiar thing. They'll say, oh, you should do an action and not desire the result. This is absolutely absurd. And then they call that karma, yoga. All you're going to do is build up resentment. I've been doing actions thinking that I'm not desiring a result for 20 years and they've never paid me. But I've wanted to be paid all along. It's impossible. Prayojanam anuddishya mandopi na pravartate. Even a beautiful mind. You know that movie, The Beautiful Mind? Everyone seen that movie? Not everyone. Okay, it's a schizophrenic mind. It's a beautiful mind. But schizophrenic mind is talking to people that are not there. But they're there to him. Very much. And the other person that he's talking to is understanding very clearly. So even a so-called mad person desires a result. Expects a result. So when I talk to that other person, I expect them to understand, and they understand. So even a schizophrenic person expects the result of an action, desires a result of an action, and then performs an action. What to talk of any other person? Krishna expects Arjuna to understand, otherwise Would he teach him? No. So even Bhagavan expects the desire or expects the result of an action, then performs an action. We're always utilitarian. What am I going to get out of this? What am I going to get out of this? Like an eagle's smell or a vulture. You can say a vulture's he smells, oh, there's that prey, there's that dead carcass I want. Or there's the rabbit. I want the rabbit, the eagle. And then we always want to know, what am I going to get out of it? What am I going to get out of it? You don't do an action without wanting the fruit, the result of the action, without desiring. So we always have a desire for the result, and we perform the action, and there's means to get that result, and there's time involved, and there's proper effort involved, and there's daivam involved. There's the third factor. So prayatnam, proper effort, kalam, time, proper time, and then the result takes place. There's also the prayer aspect that produces unseen results, that has the factor that really gives the grace, whether you really get the result or not that you want. So you can do an action, putting forth proper effort, leaving proper time, but when the result comes, you have four possible results of any action. There's four possible results. What are those? It may be more than what you want. It may be less than what you want. It may be exactly what you want, very rare. It may be opposite. Maybe opposite to what you want. See, so we're going to visit and have a bhajan session in the evening, yeah, last night. We're going to go and we'll have a meeting and going to sing some prayerful songs. And we all decide we're going to get into the car and go there. And then at that time, 7 o'clock, everybody gets in. But then one person is gone and Swamiji is not there. And then Swamiji comes out, everybody's gone. I got left behind. Less than a water. Then I wait for a while. Then somebody comes back. Oh, Swamiji is not here. So somebody comes back and says, oh, Swamiji, you want to? Okay. I got less than what I want. I waited because I may have missed some of the program, whatever. Then another result, possible result, is that we're going about to go. Then we find out that there is another group of people that want to sing also. They're all old friends, and you haven't seen them in 20 years, and you get to see them. And it's very special. We get to have a special band, and more people come, and extra instruments, and people. So it all comes together, full moon night, and they all come over and they have tea together, and then we go. Much more than what we expected. We were just planning on a small group, and then this constellation took place. It was much, much more than we expected. That's also possible. Possible result. Or we expected to go and we all got together and we went and we came back. Everything, nothing extra happened. And exactly what we wanted to do, it happened. One other possible result. So as we were about to go, and we were just going, and it was raining, and there was lightning happening. And then I was walking along, and then suddenly I didn't know what happened. But then 3 days later, I wake up in the hospital. Where am I?
Who am I? Where am I? And then the doctor, oh yes, you were unconscious for 3 days. What happened? Oh, a lightning struck a tree, and then that bolt, that shock, you were standing in some water by the car, and then suddenly your body got overwhelmed, and you went into shock, and then, possible, highly unlikely, but possible. There's a few people that's been struck like 2 or 3 times. What a destiny. So I wanted to go to this gathering and sing Bhagavan's names, but then it's opposite to what I want. Opposite. I'm in the hospital. So these are always the way. Now, once we understand that these results are coming from the cause-effect laws of creation, and the cause-effect laws of creation are presided over by the infinite intelligent being, the Santa Claus of Santa Clauses, who is in and through those results, whose hands are giving me those results, is coming straight from the Santa Claus, giving to me, and then I have a different attitude towards those results. If I get what I want, oh, I feel grateful. If I get more, oof, I also feel grateful. What if I get less? I'm able to, okay, I get less. Namaha, 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 namaha. It's okay. I pray more, and I put forth more proper efforts. I'm able to assimilate that less without reaction. I've neutralized the reaction. Opposite also. I'm able to assimilate that fact. I say, okay, there must have been something. There's something special about this that's happened, and I'm able to assimilate it. And maybe there's a special lesson in this, and I look into it, and I see, okay, and I pray more. I have some more prayers. But I understand there's this unseen aspect, there's an unseen result that always plays in any result, an unseen factor. It's called daivam. And that daivam is what we're really riding on all the time. We're riding on daivam. It's the third factor, the unseen factor, that really gives every result. And it's you can create more and more daivam, more and more grace through your prayer. So you have prayer and you protect your family and protect yourself in all the relative ways and sustain your infrastructure, etc. So you have daivam, devasya bhavam, daivam, the grace of Ishvara, the grace of infinite Santa Claus, who is giving you all the results, all the presents in the present moment. Okay? So you receive them. Gracefully you can receive them, and that neutralizes all the resistance to facts you cannot change, and it lets your heart relax in peace, and you're listening to Vedanta when? Every single day. You're doing your puja, chanting your mantra, Om Ganganapataye Namaha. And if you're chanting your mantra every day in puja, everything's relaxed, your devotee's up when you're chanting, even during the day, because that impression is so deep and is connected with the sound and everything that's happening. During your puja, it's connected with the place in your heart where you're the baby in mother's arms, the devotee open and gaining grace in your heart. Then, when you feel overwhelmed, if you just go, Om Ganganapataye Namaha, it'll pull you right back to that place where you're relaxed and breathing deep in your heart and you're not in reaction. It does it just amazing. It's a great power. But you have to make it work like that. How do you make it work? Chant this mantra 1,000,000 times. For every akshara, which has 10 syllables, 100,000 times. And you'll get siddhi in that mantra. But you can't do that mechanically, okay? Very consciously, with flowers to your heart. And if it's very, very clear, you can do also purely mentally chant. With the rosary also you can chant. With a rosary, you don't use this finger. you use these two fingers and the thumb. You see, so if you start Om Ganganapataye Namaha, Om Ganganapataye Namaha, Om Ganganapataye Namaha, and then you say, oh, that Ganapati's mouse we saw, and you go off somewhere, what happens here? It stops. And when it stops, it will wake you up and bring you back to Om Ganganapataye Namaha. So then you can finish your 108, which was your commitment. Well, if your mind, if you've made the commitment, then if it's still going, it's mechanical. You've made the commitment to connect your mantra with the tilling. The tilling means the movement of the beads. Okay. So in that, you've connected. And so if you've gone off, it should stop. Because the mind's gone and you're not. If it's still going, that's mechanical. So the idea is that your mind will go away, and when it goes away, since you've made the commitment to 108 and to come back, you're waiting to come back to that Meru bead, which is the head bead of all the beads, and you haven't touched that yet, and since that was your commitment, you'll should pull you back. That's the idea. So now you've done 100,000 times for every akshara of your mantra, then it blooms in your heart. It gives the siddhi, it gives the power that any time you say that mantra, your devotee's up, you're breathing deep in your heart, you're present, and you're objective towards the situation. You're not in a reaction anymore. You've neutralized the resistance, therefore you've neutralized the reaction, and you've broken the chains of the past, which is a great grace. You can do this for yourself. So, karmani eva adhikarahate ma paleshu kadachana. And then Krishna says, ma karma palahetur bhuhu. If you're imagining that you're the cause of the fruit of any action, this is a delusion. You are not the cause of the fruit or the result of any action. You're not the cause of the result of any action. You're not the author of the result of any action. The more you think you're in control, the more you're out of control. And the more you're choking yourself. You are not in control of anything. You have prayerful management in the ocean of emotion. You have no control. I told you, Yamaraja, the king of death, has control over lub-dub, lub-dub, lub-dub. So, ma karma palahetur bhuhu. Karma palahetuhu, the hetuhu, the cause of the palam, of the result of the karma. Karma palahetuhu. Ma bhuhu. You are not the cause or the author of the result of any action. So drop this notion. Drop this idea. And it will free your heart from anxiety. It will free your heart from disturbance. Only Ishvara is the cause. Only the infinite intelligent being is the cause of the result of every action. Understand this deeper and deeper. What is Ishvara? And cause-effect. And how every cause-effect is coming. Every effect is coming according to the laws of creation. Laws of creation are imbued by infinite intelligent being. So infinite intelligent being is giving me that result. And he is the cause of the result of every action. He's karmapala data, the giver of the fruits of all actions. Santa Claus. A whole new meaning to Christmas, okay? Christmas presents. Every present moment is Christmas presents. Not once a year, okay? Every present moment. Open the presents with reverence. So, and then, again Krishna says, Mate Sangost. Akarmani. Okay. So, te,
Sangaha akarmani ma astu.
So may you not get into attachment to inaction. No, inaction means idleness or inaction, trying to run away from situations or not play the role that's appropriate for you. If mother is invoked, mother has to be played. You have children. Father is invoked, father is the role, but keep your devotee up. Through the father, through the mother, through the daughter, through the son. But if you run away from that, you cannot grow. You cannot emotionally grow. You'll remain stagnant and start stinking inside. You cannot grow emotionally. So, you please, ma te sangaha astu akarmani. So akarmani with reference to inaction, not doing anything. Do not get involved in running away from situations, because if something's to be done, it's to be done. Not because you like it or dislike it. You sacrifice your likes and dislikes personally and do what has to be done. You'll grow. And you do according to dharma, making decisions with the intellect, the driver of the chariot. So, ma te sangaha astu akarmani. Then you'll grow, doing what has to be done, playing the roles. The devotee's ring goes in and through all the roles, your objective, receiving the presence, each present moment, gracefully, with gratitude, and all the reactions, resistance reactions get neutralized, and you're listening to Vedanta every day. So the impact of the teaching becomes deeper and deeper. Knowledge is clear. The fruits of the knowledge is that abidance of happiness without any reason is more and more. Doubts go. Vagueness go. You see? And so you have a growing clarity, and you're blessed more and more profoundly. So this is a daily prayerful life. Karma yoga. The attitude of glad acceptance because of clear understanding of cause and its result, karma, it's the action and its result. Okay. So, karmanyevadhikaraste ma paleshu kadachana ma karma palahetarbhu ma te sangostra karmani. Om purnamadav purnamidam. Om purnamadav purnamidam. Purnat. Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate Om Shanti 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 Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Shri Guru Jo Namaha Harihi Om. Harihi.